There's a place in our house.
For 70 years, Benjamin Supply has been keeping Tucson flowing. Hygiene is our business. We help you achieve extreme clean. Minimize germ spreading with a hands-free sensor faucet. Forget the paper panic with a washlet seat. And speaking of waterworks, a big thanks to plumbers for their essential efforts during this health crisis. Shop our downtown showroom by appointment. Call us at 777-7000 or see all the products online at BenjaminSupply.com.
Thanks to Benjamin Plumbing Supply.
You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. Welcome, Jay. There's so many things going on in today's world. It's changing as we speak.
Every day. Every day, something new. But, you know, the best news of the day, I think, is a local guy, Nick Gonzalez, out of New Mexico State and Cienega High School, signed his contract today. $5.4 million.
It's like hitting the lottery with a lot of hard work.
Yeah, you know, and again, you know, we've said, you know, we had him on last month, and, you know, he sounds like a great kid, and by all accounts he is, and he did the work, and he was a walk-on at New Mexico State, and...
How many stories do you get like that?
There aren't many.
I want to say, even though he wasn't a walk-on, Steve Kerr-ish,
right,
or a guy who you'd, oh, who's this guy?
Right. Came out of nowhere, you know, wasn't loved coming out of high school to, you know, to do anything, and just did the work.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got to appreciate those stories. And it's fascinating when you see somebody do that and they're able to keep their head, you know,
he hasn't
gotten full of himself. And you've seen other athletes who are told how great they are all,
sure,
growing up from the sixth grade on, and then they get there and they fall flat on their face,
right,
because they don't do the work.
Right.
And so it's great to see Nick did the work.
We've written about many of those guys.
We have, you know, and it's all, you know, it's that whole thing. It's always sad to see when somebody does have the, you know, every bit of talent that's needed, but they don't have the rest of it.
Right.
But then you see somebody else who's got all the pieces, but have to work at the talent piece of it, and
right,
and they pull it together, and they
right,
become, you know, they become great athletes, and or not even just athletes, you know, whatever they're doing in their lives.
Well, it's funny because you were in this business, and I've been in it for a long time, and people say, well, how did Lou miss on Curry? How did this guy miss on this guy? These guys just show up and they work. I'm going to ask Jake this question, Jake Fisher, who's our guest. I mean, this guy was missed by everybody.
Right.
Gonzalez.
Right. Everybody missed him.
Self-made to be who he is.
You know, let's go to Chuck Cecil.
Another guy's
in the College Football Hall of Fame.
Perfect example.
He weighed 150 pounds when he got here.
Right.
You know, guys like that who, again, have the determination.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to have a level of intelligence because they have to figure things out as they go along.
No question.
And figure out ways to, you know, get on the field, to catch the coach's eye, to you know, do the things that they need to do, and to just kind of outsmart everybody.
I always at the right place at the right time, doing the right things.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. So I love seeing a story like that. You know, hopefully he gets the opportunity. You know, there's some people saying that, you know, he may be invited to the major league camp when they start camp on July 1st, which, you know, the major league teams are going to be inviting 60 players to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he gets a shot at that, at least he'll get a look, you know, and then his road to the major leagues becomes, you know, he gets a jump start on it.
Sure. I thought you were going to say, I hope he's related to me.
Well, that too. I've got mixed feelings about whether or not I want to look back in my DNA and see who's back there. Because I may be looking for Nick Gonzalez and then find something else that I'm not really looking forward to. My family and I had a fun discussion about that a couple of days ago, and my kids said, yeah, I'd like to know, and I'm like, my wife and I both, I don't know that we want to
Right. Be careful what you wish for.
So no, we're
totally get it,
but you know, again, he's an inspiration.
Yeah,
Nick's an inspiration to, and hopefully, you know, there's kids in Tucson who are paying attention to this story. If he makes it to the big leagues, he'll be a story that will, you know, will get a lot of attention
for a long time.
Hopefully there's a lot of kids here in Tucson who will see this story and see what the possibilities are, and that you don't have, mm-hmm, to be the elite talent As long as you work hard, you can get there.
Right, right. That's the guy jump shooting in the rain. The guy is taking cuts in the rain.
Right,
catching footballs in the snow.
You know, working out and, you know, doing the workouts, running the stadiums in the middle of June and July, you know, when some of us won't even go outside. You know, those, those kinds of things. Yes. So, you know.
Well, you know, from that to today's reality, because we talk about it every day. It's a sports, but it's part of sports. More and more tests are coming out positive. Right. UConn just eliminated a bunch of sports testing, and it's NBA,
right?
Golf. You talked about golf.
There were a bunch of the you know, couple of the top players in golf withdrew from the tournament that's in Connecticut today. Brooks Koepka being one of them. Webb Simpson, who won last week, you know, because people around them have tested positive. So, you know, there was a handful of players that were set to go tomorrow, and they withdrew from the tournament. We saw that Grand Canyon University has quarantined its entire basketball team and their staff, because I think four players and two staff members tested positive. So again, it's how you deal with these things. Again, I think the reality that we've talked about and that everybody's facing is that as teams go along, there's going to be positive tests among them. It's the protocols that they put in place to deal with that. So in Grand Canyon's case, they've quarantined the entire team and staff in a residence hall, and they're going to be there. They've got to be there, you know, 14 days and be tested until it all clears, and hopefully they're all you know, clear of the virus, and then they get back to work.
Here we go.
The question is, though, like you've said, what happens if that happens, you know,
during the year,
during the season? Right. All of a sudden you got to quarantine the entire team. Right. How many games do you forfeit? Or what, you know, what is it?
The odds on that happening are better than 50%.
I think we're finding it's probably pretty high, unless things can be put in place to kind of control this stuff going forward.
One day we'll stop talking about
this.
We
will.
I'm not sure when.
About games. Well, July 24th, there are going to be some baseball supposedly. Right. And I think, you know, the NBA is supposed to be going here in a few weeks. So, you know, hopefully we'll be able to talk about some games.
Right. Looking forward to talk to Jake Fisher, a good friend, one of the original sports guys. A heck of a player, one of those overachiever guys too.
One of those guys, you know, a local guy, Ironwood Ridge High School, you know, shout out to the Nighthawks. But, you know, Jake was one of those guys that, you know, got a look at the U of A, you know, again, worked hard. Mm-hmm. He was a starter. He was an all Pac-12 honorable mention guy. And just a fun guy to watch in the Scooby Wright mold. You know,
right.
I know that. I think they played together 1 year, maybe.
Yeah.
But you know, Jake was here the first 2 years of the Rich Rod coaching administration. 2012-2013, there were some great games that he was involved in, and so, you know, we'll have a chance to talk about some of those games and, you know, some of the stuff he's been doing. But, you know, Jake's a smart guy. You know, he was a good, you know, good academic guy and all that kind of stuff, and it'd be interesting to see. You know, I want to hear what he's thinking about the stuff that's going on right now, maybe from a player perspective.
Right. Mm-hmm.
What would he be going through as a player if he was talking about, you know, if he was a guy who was supposed to be coming onto campus amid all of this, and
what the concerns would be,
his experience, you know, because his experience is recent, you know, in the
very involved,
you know, 2 years ago, so
very involved with what's going on.
Yeah.
Hey, let's take a quick break here now, and I'm not sure how you're going to live up to yesterday's music selections there, Tom, but I think you got something going.
This is a good start right here.
Yes, a little
more Stevie.
Let's take a break here on 10:30 The Voice.
Time to update those old kitchen cabinets? Call the Window Depot today. The Window Depot is not only the number one warehouse for windows and doors, we now have a great selection of kitchen and bath cabinets at Tucson's best prices. The Window Depot is Tucson's top spot for granite and quartz countertops to finish the new kitchen or the replacement of that old worn out Formica. So call us today at 290-8545 or 622-6430. The Window Depot, windows, doors, granite, and new kitchens.
There's a place in our house.
For 70 years, Benjamin Supply has been keeping Tucson flowing. Hygiene is our business. We help you achieve extreme clean. Minimize germ spreading with a hands-free sensor faucet. Forget the paper panic with a washlet seat. And speaking of waterworks, a big thanks to plumbers for their essential efforts during this health crisis. Shop our downtown showroom by appointment. Call us at 777-7000 or see all the products online at BenjaminSupply.com.
Thanks to Benjamin Plumbing Supply.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm your host, Steve Rivera, alongside Jay Gonzalez. Now on the phone, we have Jake Fisher, former U of A linebacker. Not too long ago. Jake, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you guys?
Fine, thank you. Hey, just real quick, give us an update what you're doing and you know, how you doing?
Oh, we're doing fine. I'm actually up in the Phoenix area now and, you know, doing the same thing as last time I spoke to you guys. I'm an investment advisor representative, and, you know, we help folks with everything that's money pretty much.
So you're actually using your education. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, the education, I got marketing. I'm not a great marketer. That's more my girlfriend's forte. But I'd like to think I'm pretty good at what I do.
Yeah, very good. Jake, so, you know, I hate to keep, you know, harping on this, but one of the things that, you know, Steve and I have been having to talk about for, you know, since I got on the show is all the stuff with the COVID. From where, you know, from your experience as an athlete and all the things that you would go through to prepare for a season and stuff like that, put yourself in the shoes of a football player who would be coming on campus today. What, you know, what would be on your mind? What would your concerns be? Would you be, you know, optimistic that things are happening? I mean, what would you be thinking about as you were headed towards this season coming up amidst all of this?
Well, I would be super comfortable with the way that, you know, our university is handling everything. I mean, I follow all the U of A stuff on Twitter. I see what they're doing, how serious they're taking it, which they should be. But, you know, the fact is, you know, if I was in that position before I went onto campus, what I would have been doing is I would have been researching exactly, you know, what this entails, you know, who it affects. You know, obviously I want to see what the types of symptoms are. You got to be very careful. You got to, you know, don't just go out and hang out with a bunch of different people in in close quarters and things of that nature. But going on to campus, seeing the type of, you know, the way that they are treating the players, you know, they're bringing them in, doing testing, kind of keeping them separate of each other, just to make sure for the common good of everybody around. I think they're doing a good job, to be 100% honest with you. So it's a positive thing. I know that. And the outlook going into the season, guys, like, you know, this is my thing. Without football, the athletic department, you know, any athletic department, you know, they're facing challenges. So I think they're going to find a way to do it. And in order for them to do it, they really have to make sure that the player's health comes first and foremost. So they're going to do whatever they can to make that happen.
I'm glad we have you on, because just a conversation like this, we talked about this yesterday with Jay. I think that the players themselves have more power than any other time in sports history, given they can get their images now, get paid for some of that. And now they have a say for the reason you said. Without them, there's no football season.
Well, exactly. And this is the thing, like going back to when I was in college, you know, with the O'Bannon suit, you know, one of the people from ESPN asked me if I really thought that the people went to go see the players play and they weren't just going to see a football team. Well, if you have a bad football team, number one, you can't fill up the stadium, number one. And this is the thing. Now people have, you know, the players started to realize that they are the most important aspect of the football program. If you have great athletes, you're going to attract more people. It's going to bring more money, number one. And number two, they understand kind of the position they're in terms of being a voice of positivity surrounding the football program. So if you have someone like Schooler or one of these guys that leads on either side of the ball, they're coming out and they're leading the way saying, hey, we need to make sure that we take care of the player's safety. You know, we need to make sure it's the same type of role that they would take if, you know, you had kids in the off season coming in and they weren't trying to work out. Well, if your best player is working their tail off, getting in the weight room, putting together stuff for the team, everybody else is going to be more likely to follow. So they understand with the type of power they have comes responsibility. And, you know, just the players in general, every year they're getting a little bit more control. And, you know, some people don't think that's necessarily a good thing. I do. Number one, because they're going to be able to get paid on their likeness and things of that nature now. But I think more importantly, it's going to allow for them to thrive as leaders. And, you know, going forward from there, I think it's going to make the game better.
Jake, let me ask you, because I did a story on this. Now, again, this was 100 years ago. I think, you know, probably even well before you were born. just talking to a player about just surviving, you know, on campus, you know, being in two, you know, I talked to a couple of players from out of town. How are you making it financially? How do you make ends meet? You know, do you get enough money? What can you do with, you know, are you able to go out and, you know, go to a movie or buy a pizza? And I know you were, you know, you're a local guy, so your parents were probably here and stuff like that, and maybe you got some help and those types of things. But what types of things did you see, you know, that players were going through that make the whole money issue such a big issue? Because I know there's some of them who don't have anything behind them. So whatever they're getting at the university is all they get. What did you see, and how big a deal is this for the players to just get a little more?
Well, the deal is, you know, you have two sides to the argument. I have people that I went to school with that necessarily didn't say that they were struggling financially. And then I have other players that I played with that they were always behind. you know, the fact that I was in Tucson, it was a little bit more of a blessing because the parents were right down the road. And I think that especially helped me, through injuries and rehabs and stuff like that. But more importantly, the financial side. But when it comes down to it, my parents were smack dab in the middle of that classification or that income, that household income that you need in order to get help from the university. And then you also got to remember, when I went into play in 2009, we were still recovering from, you know, a little bit of an economic downturn, the Great Recession and things of that nature. So, you know, we weren't made of money. And so, you know, I couldn't make a car payment. That had to come from my parents. I couldn't go and make any additional money. There are people that, it's like, listen, can I go pick up a side job? No, because if you're not putting everything you can into summer, right, if you're not showing up for, you know, even if they're not mandatory workouts, but you're not showing up, that's going to make that's going to set an example for the younger players. Or
right.
The
they're mandatory. Right.
Right. Exactly. And so, you know, when it comes down to it, I think the players being able to make a little bit more money, because you also got to remember, you're putting a full, you know, a full load of classes and things on top of it, along with not having enough money. So, you know, we would only get fed one time a day. They had that crazy rule back in the day where it's like, you can have a bagel, no cream cheese, you know, that kind of stuff. It's like, oh, guys, come on. I mean, we're working out so much. We're expending so much energy. We're spending a lot of time in the classroom. We're doing all this stuff. If I need to go make money, you got to give me a way for me to go make additional money, because the amount of money they were paying us at that time wasn't enough.
Let me ask you real quick. This is another discussion we had yesterday. So Jake Fisher is playing linebacker and does a pretty good job, but you have ex-running back and ex-quarterback doing really well. Their likeness is selling and they're getting paid very well. But Jake Fisher is, you know, just kind of muddling along. His likeness is not doing whatever. Do you think that there's going to be some resentment with that?
You know what? This is ultimately what I believe in 100% of the time. I think free market is the way to go in everything. And I'm not trying to bring my political beliefs or into this at all, but you know, a guy like Kadeem Carey, a guy like Austin Hill, a guy like, Nick Foles back in the day, or Rob Gronkowski, these guys are literally bringing more money into the program because of their performance on the field. It's increasing ticket sales. You're going and buying a guy's jersey. I mean, imagine Gronkowski, if they would have known how illustrious of a career he would have had in the NFL. You go back, I mean, his jersey would have sold three or four times more than a jersey would regularly sell. So they're adding so much value to the program. So it's only right that they get compensated a little bit more. It's where the compensation comes from. You know, if you have a guy like a DeAndre Ayton, right, who everyone knows he's going to be one of the top couple picks in the draft. You only have him here for a year. Well, hey, if a car lot wants me to get on a commercial and pay me a little bit of money, it's my likeness. The NCAA shouldn't dictate me being able to make a little bit of money outside of college. Now, also, I think it would lessen the amount of stuff that happens, you know, from, in terms of basketball, maybe from the runners that go to the AAU programs, pay people a little bit more, et cetera, et cetera. I wouldn't be as willing and available to taking money that way if I was able to go and make a little bit of money outside of school. And that's just to be 100% honest with you. I think if you have a brand, you should be able to make a little bit more money. Now, for the person that isn't playing, doesn't have that big of a reputation, obviously they need to be compensated a little bit more. And the football program usually brings in plenty of money in order to do that. So when it comes down to it, I know coaches get paid a lot of money. Athletic directors get paid a lot of money. There's money available It's just, how are we going to go ahead and budget it to make sure that the players are taken care of? Because that's the product that gets put on the field. The amount of hours that get put in behind the scenes that are not out on the actual field during the game is ridiculous, you know, and you have to put in a lot of time in order to put a good product on the field.
But I guess the question is, you know, will the offensive guard, who nobody even
right.
people don't even know his name, is he going to have a problem blocking for the quarterback who's making whatever thousands of dollars because he's a marketable guy and the offensive guard is not? Do you think there's going to be any kind of issues with that amongst the players in the locker room, that kind of thing?
You know what? That's a great question. And the way that I would view it is if we have, you know, let's just say we have an unbelievable outside linebacker. And let's say that just an unbelievable inside linebacker per se. And then let's say I'm a nose tackle. I know that if I do my job well enough, I'm going to get compensated down the road. I'm not thinking about, you know, this guy saying, oh, well, he's getting 10 tackles a game and I'm only getting 2.5 to 3 tackles, you know, he's getting all the press and things of that nature. Because if that inside linebacker is worth a damn at all, he's going to give me some credit anyway. If I'm good enough at my job, I'm going to get drafted or I'm going to get picked up as a free agent and I'm going to get paid regardless. Now, you know, you have the positions where you have a receiver that, you know, just goes crazy one year, like an Austin Hill year, right? Or you have a Nick Foles or whatever. You know, I can't say that I was in one of those sexy positions anyway. So, you know, the fact of the matter is I think that if you do your job well enough, you're still going to get compensated down the road. And to be honest with you, like, I really wouldn't worry about that. You might have some people thinking that way. But once again, you know, if you're the face of the program, versus somebody that's, you know, a freshman, you know, that isn't playing, I don't necessarily think that should be, you know, one of the first thoughts in somebody's head.
We have about a minute left. I hope you stay around for another segment. But I bet if I had money that Jake Fisher misses playing.
Well, I miss the game. Practice and all the other stuff that goes along with it that just kills you throughout the week, I don't miss that. But as soon as you know, you run out in front of all the fans and stuff in the stadium and, you know, you're on television and you're going against a guy that you know is going to be in the NFL and all these other different things. That's the feeling I miss. It's like, it's almost like the feeling I'm going into battle with all my brothers. You know, I'm going to do whatever I can to make sure that they're successful as well. That's the feeling that you miss when you leave.
So we just have a few more seconds in this segment. So when you're visiting and you go to the game, because I know you've done that a couple of times, how do you feel getting back on the field?
I mean, it's great. I mean, it's funny because the players always look smaller when you go back. And I don't know what it is. It was the same way as high school. It's the same way now. You know, you always see a couple guys, you're like, well, that dude's probably going to go to the NFL. But, you know, it's super weird. You know, number one, when I go back now, a completely different coaching staff. There really wasn't anybody left from when I graduated. So it's almost like a different program. But, you know, just the fact that you can sit there, you can say, hey, like, you know, I played for this university. It's a pretty cool feeling.
Right, right. Let's take a quick break here. Come back with Jake Fisher on the other side.
These days, most families are concerned with having the right insurance coverage. Protecting your family, home, auto, and other valuable possessions can be challenging and sometimes expensive. Crest Insurance gives you flexible options and solutions while saving you money. Insurance is not one size fits all, and at Crest, we find the coverage that's best for you and your family. Visit us online at www.crestins.com or call us toll free at 888-881-5765.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez. And on the phone, we have former linebacker Jake Fisher from the U of A. Jake, just real quick, I don't know if you saw that Nick Gonzalez signed for $5.4 million out of Cienega. He was the number 7 guy in the MLB. He reminds me of you in a sense that I thought a few people just thought you would make it at U of A. You did very well. You and Jared Tevis and some of those guys.
Yeah.
You bootstrap guys, just guys who just kind of prove people wrong.
Yeah, and the only difference is that man got paid. No, it's cool because, you know, you see a local product do super well. And, you know, he went to I wish he would have went to the U of A. I don't know if they recruited him out of.
He walked on to New Mexico State. He walked on to New Mexico State because nobody would take him.
That's That's just crazy. You know, but the thing is with the type of work ethic that he had, he probably knew when he got there that he's going to prove everybody wrong and he's going to make it into the big leagues. And, you know, I wish him the best of luck. I hope that we see him playing here, you know, often, and I hope he has a very good career.
One more question along those lines. You got to U of A, and we saw you play in high school, do well really there. Did Jake Fisher become Jake Fisher later because he worked his butt off, or the coaches, did they coach you up? How did you become that guy?
Well, number one, you know, coaches, they're not going to really coach you hard unless they see that you actually want to win. You know, it's one of those things to where if you have a coach yelling at you all the time, even though a young player is going to sit here and say, you know, woe is me, why does the coach always yell at me? In the back of your mind, you know, the older you get, you start seeing people that they kind of lose trust and faith in, and they just don't talk to them. They don't even correct them on the field sometimes. So it's coaching, but it's hard work. You know, growing up, my dad was my coach, and so I got my butt kicked every day. And, you know, he coached me up hard. And then as soon as I got into you know, ball after he was my coach, it was easy. I kind of had it built into my head to just continue to work hard and things of that nature. And it's really just because of the environment I grew up in. My parents did a fantastic job in always telling me I needed to work my tail off. And, you know, my dad always instilled grades and everything in me as well. And so, you know, I really think that kind of set me up for the future as well as opposed to just football.
So Jake, as I was getting ready to, you know, for the show today, I was running through the game results from the time that you were here, and you know, your time got split, you know, between Mike Stoops and kind of when things went a little south with him and he got fired, and then Rich Rod coming in and the excitement of all that and how immediately, you know, there was a lot of excitement around the program and stuff like that. So talk a little bit about just your progression through the program and how you, Jake Fisher, experienced that and the things that you went through as a player, you know, going through, you know, you guys got a couple of bowl games and things went south with Stoops, and then all of a sudden Rich Rod comes in and it's a whole different deal. What was the experience there?
Well, I think if you take it back even before I got to the university, the way that the Stoops regime really built it back up from the ground up by, you know, plugging immediate holes, but also bringing in players that, you know, they would compete with a lot of really good colleges to get some of these players to campus. I mean, when you have guys like Rob Gronkowski, Earl Mitchell, Rob Goldens, those type of guys, you know, Trevin Wade's, when you have guys like that, it's like, you know what you're doing. So they kind of brought it back from, you know, really being one of the worst teams in the entire country for a little bit of time. And then, you know, towards the end of my sophomore year, you know, we had a 5-game skid where three of those 5 games we should have won. And, you know, we could have gotten to a bigger bowl game. And then we kind of laid an egg in the Alamo Bowl. And then the next season, we lost so many great players. Not only that, but we had so many people get injured. And I was one of like 10 people that got injured before the damn season even started. And we had a lot of young guys trying to plug holes. And when you're trying to play a lot of young guys, you know, you might have them play really well for a couple different plays, but having so many young people trying to get on the same page that don't have that kind of experience, you're not going to have a very successful season. So, you know, after the Oregon State game, we get on the plane and there was just this feeling kind of around the team, and then it happened. And, you know, we all love Stoops. He gave us, you know, the opportunity to play at the university. And, you know, throughout that time when Coach Kish was the head coach, and we started out with a bang, we beat UCLA, and then we went on a skid again. And then we got a chance to beat ASU. I just remember during that time, you know, I'm sitting here and I'm basically every single day working with a couple other guys trying to get back on the field, and we're rehabbing, and next thing you know, all of a sudden, you know, they say Coach Rich Rodriguez is our new football coach. Well, you know, all of us reverted back to like, well, you remember when he was at West Virginia, how great those teams were. And then, you know, we got the chance to play under some of the coaches that were with them. And it was just fantastic because it's like, you know, you're not going to have a team go from the way that they were to getting to a Fiesta Bowl without a lot of hard work in between. And it just so happened that we needed two coaching staff to get there. But You know, I hate when, because I talk to people regularly about it, and, you know, Stoops doesn't get enough recognition. I mean, he brought it back from where it was dead, and then Coach Rodriguez and those guys, they were wonderful coaches. I mean, they got all the way to the Fiesta Bowl, could have beat Boise State there towards the end of the game. One bounce one way, we could have won that game. So it was really great. Both coaching staffs were fantastic at coaching, great at recruiting, things of that nature, and yeah, I mean, I enjoyed the time with both staffs.
We talked about that not too long ago, where we thought Stoops, too, did not get or does not get enough recognition, because he recruited, like you say, some very good talent, plus he had a lot of scrappers like you guys.
Yeah, well, and it comes to a point where you're not walking around with an SC on your jacket, or you're in a fertile recruiting ground like L.A., you know? And so you might be able to, you know, be a decent coaching staff, but not a great coaching staff. And you have all of the things that you need to have a successful program right in your backyard. Whereas these guys, they started out by recruiting, number one, the state of Texas, they did great with. They did great with California, Arizona. They would go other places to get some folks to play. But, but they also did it through the JUCO rankings. And then, you know, they went out and they sold the fact that they're going to build the program up to what it became eventually, with landing guys that were, you know, U.S. Army All-American guys, like a Rob Golden or an Adam Hall back in the day. And, it was just really nice because they had a great blend of people that, number one, they would get along with each other. Number two, they might not be, a rivals top 100 guy, but, they're a fringe 500 or 600, top 500-600 guy. And, they just outwork everybody. And that's really they built it from the ground up. They didn't really do any shortcuts. And that's really why I think he doesn't get as much. He doesn't get the recognition he deserves at all.
Okay, Jake, two games. You just tell me which one you think you when you think back on your time here. Two games that stand out to me, that tell me where they sit for you. The USC game in 2012, when you guys were getting your skulls crushed and beat USC here with Matt Scott as your quarterback, and then the next year beating Oregon here in a game that nobody wanted to come to because it was freezing cold. Everybody thought you guys were going to get killed, and then you guys crushed their skulls. Which of those two games stands out more for you?
Well, this is the thing about the USC game. I'm running around with a torn shoulder. That wasn't very fun for me at all. And the fact that they had, three guys that are in the NFL on their offensive line that I had to try to deal with on a consistent basis. I mean, it was hot. I mean, it's like you have a decent game, but at the same time, you're kind of limited on what the heck you can do. Of those two games, my favorite game was the Oregon game. It's funny because we went out and everything that could go right went right. And it comes down to like the little plays that you go back and watch and that you say those are the types of plays why we won the game. When they score their first touchdown, they try to do a fake extra point and go for two. And we had gone over that in practice. We had a great week of practice, by the way. We went over that 3, 4, 5 times in practice, and everybody ran it to perfection. We got him before he got to the goal line, and Shaq came up with that interception to seal the game, but he also started the game with a bang, too. He had that crazy interception where he was falling out of bounds, and he did kind of like a finger roll back into back into Scooby, and Scooby kind of caught it like, what the hell just happened? And then he just started running, trying to run over and truck everybody. And then you have guys like Kadeem Carey that just had one of those games where it's like, hey guys, get on my back. I'm going to win us this thing. It's just crazy because the week before that, we had a crushing defeat at home with Washington State,
right,
where it seems like we just kept shooting ourselves in the foot, and defense actually played very well, and when we got to the Oregon game, we had a complete game where all three phases of the game, with the exception of the opening kickoff, we played extremely well in.
So you're a local kid, done well here. Are you surprised or disappointed, whatever word you want to use? A lot of the locals are leaving.
This is the thing. And I know that they're going through a coaching transition. I mean, you're not going to get every single team. And you got to remember, in a place like Tucson, where there's only a few Division I athletes, if you have a generational, player, like a Bijan Robinson, and I hope I'm pronouncing his name the right way. I mean, that kid is, he can, his sophomore year, he might start at any college in the damn country, and he's got NFL written all over him. So you have, you know, I know he went to Texas, but you have teams like SC coming in, and you have teams like Oregon, Ohio State, Alabama, you know, whoever the heck came in and offered them. But it's hard. And the thing is, if you're not born and raised and you're not a diehard Arizona fan growing up, that might be tempting to do. You know, when I was looking at my college choices, one of the big schools that didn't offer me but intrigued me just as much, if not more, in the very beginning as Arizona was Nebraska, because my whole family was from there. You know, my parents moved down here, you know, and then a year later I was born, and I was basically raised in a Go Big Red household. And when I was younger, Arizona, you know, for the most part, went, you know, from what I remember in the early 2000s and stuff like that, they really weren't that good. I mean, they had those magical years, you know, where they went to the Fiesta Bowl and things of that nature. And, you know, they beat the hell out of Miami and whatever. And but you got to remember, when you're making a college decision too, you want to look at the coaching staff. If you haven't built a really great relationship with them, it's tough. And especially if you're coming from behind, you know, the thing is, if you have a head coach come in and he's got a couple of good years under his belt, and you see that the program is changing, like when I was, you know, a sophomore, junior, and senior in high school, it's much easier to stay home. You know, and you never know exactly what into it, because we weren't sitting across the kitchen table from the coaches when they were making their pitch. But I mean, I really would like to see some of the local products, because it's not Phoenix where you have 40 to 50 Division I guys that can all start, you know, their sophomore year on. I really would like to see us be able to get the vast majority of them to stay home.
Yeah. Just real quick, we got to go in a couple minutes. You're up north in Tempe. I think you're in Tempe or maybe in Phoenix. How is it living up there with the other color and the other guys?
Well, the funny thing, and you know, my girlfriend and I, we always talk about this, but, you know, as soon as I started coming up here, I started wearing U of A gear out everywhere we would go, whether it's going out to get a drink, going out to eat, you know, going to the office that we're out of up here now, wearing a U of A polo. No one says anything. There's really not as much school pride up here as there in Tucson. I walked into a bar on campus with a U of A polo shirt on. No one said anything. There was actually somebody else there that came up and they were like, hey, bear down. They bought us, you know, dinner, stuff like that. It was fantastic, but no one said a word. Whereas if you're wearing an ASU shirt, you go down on university or whatever, someone's going to say something to you, and, you know, it's just going to go like that. But there's really not as much school pride up here. And I always say that Tempe's a great place. It's just, I don't really like the university down the street. But other than that, the people are great. I'm enjoying my time up here.
Are you telling us they've gone soft up there, Jake?
They've always been soft.
Eddie needs clients.
And on that note,
Jake, it's always great to talk to you. I miss you, the sports guys. If I had money, I'll give you some money for your old project there, your work project.
No problem, guys. Thanks
for joining us today. It's been fun.
Yeah, thanks,
Jake. Thank you, guys.
Let's take a quick break here at 10:30 The Voice.
For nearly 7 decades, Hughes Federal Credit Union has been there for its members through good times and bad. We know that by working together, we can achieve great things, like addressing your financial needs during these times and beyond. Bank locally with Hughes, selected by Forbes as one of the best in-state credit unions for 2 years in a row. We've got you today, tomorrow, and for decades to come. Visit HughesFCU.org, insured by NCUA.
There's a place in our house.
For 70 years, Benjamin Supply has been keeping Tucson flowing. Hygiene is our business. We help you achieve extreme clean. Minimize germ spreading with a hands-free sensor faucet. Forget the paper panic with a washlet seat. And speaking of waterworks, a big thanks to plumbers for their essential efforts during this health crisis. Shop our downtown showroom by appointment. Call us at 777-7000 or see all the products online at BenjaminSupply.com.
Thanks to Benjamin Plumbing Supply.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez, and welcome to Houlihan's on the east side.
Or for those of you who are even a little older, Dooley's over by the U of A.
Love the Gap Pad. Nice tune there, Thomas. Yep,
loving you, Tom. Loving you.
Hey, what do you miss the most? No baseball, because that's not fair.
Okay.
I know it's going to be. What do you miss the most about sports not being around?
Just sitting around on a weeknight and being able to turn on the TV and find a sport that's on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just a sports watcher, and I'll watch just about anything. And like I was saying, you know, when all this stuff is going on, I was watching horse races because there was nothing else to, you know, nothing else live to watch.
Mm-hmm.
So I miss being able, you know, sitting there and. I'm a channel surfer, big time channel surfer, drive my wife nuts. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a channel, actually my daughter too, but I'm a channel surfer, and I'll sit there and I'll just flip through the channels, get to the end and start, go back to the top and go through it again, thinking like, did I miss something?
Right. Right.
But you know, not being able to, you know, see a sporting event, you know, and just watch it, even if I'm just passing by and watching it for a few minutes.
Please don't tell me you're falling for, cornhole?
I have.
What about spike ball?
I've seen cornhole. I've seen spike ball. I've watched the axe throwing championships.
No axe throwing, yeah.
I've watched darts.
This is the beginning of... Remember ESPN 40 years ago?
Right.
That was all that 40 years ago.
I've watched bowling. Now, I'm going to say bowling, I used to... As a little kid, mm-hmm. I watched it on Saturday afternoons.
Is that back?
Yep.
Is that back? I thought
The interesting thing about bowling, and maybe this is... too much information, right? Is that they don't do bowling tournaments in bowling alleys anymore. They've got the ability to build a two-lane bowling alley and put it in a ballroom somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they hold their bowling tournaments now. And the other thing that I found funny is that a lot of these professional bowlers don't put their thumb in the thumb hole. And I don't know what
that is. Right. They don't put, they spin it however.
Right. Again, too much information for everybody, right? But, you know, again, back to the thing, just miss being able to pass by and see that there's a baseball game on and watch it for a few minutes,
mm-hmm.
you know?
No, I think everybody feels that way. Tom, what do you miss the most?
I honestly miss a lot of the conversations that revolve around sports. Not that, you know, my friends and I don't have other things to talk about, but I just feel like a lot of the times when you could say, oh man, did you see this last night? And it just leads you down a bunch of different paths. Right. And, you know, it's that shared experience, because now there's not that one communal shared experience. It's everybody giving you the vignettes of their life. And so you react to that and you go, oh, okay. But we all don't have that one thing where we're like, man, did you see that game last night?
Right. Well, this show is kind of like that once it starts again. But I think the power of this show is the guests like Jake, the guests like we've had in the past, because we reminisce and then we get their thoughts about what's going on.
Sure. And I like getting a perspective like from Jake, you know, and I know some of the guests we've had have been, you know, guys have played here in the 80s and whatnot, and maybe it's for the older crowd. But, you know, somebody like Jake Fisher, who's a young guy, played, you know, not that long ago, and he still has an understanding of what they're going through in athletics. I mean, he had a lot of great insight into the name, image, likeness thing,
right.
And, you know, getting athletes paid. That's why I wanted to see, you know, what was his perspective in terms of, you know, how do some of these players struggle financially when they're here? And bringing the millions of dollars into a program, and what can be done about that.
So where do you sit with that?
Well, I go back and forth. I mean, I think the whole name, image, likeness thing isn't the all-encompassing answer.
Right, it's not the quick
because,
fix, right.
Like you said, there's going to be that offensive guard who's from a poor family. He's far from home. You know, he's getting his education and he's getting a little stipend to pay for groceries and whatnot, but it's not enough. And he doesn't have a family that can send him money or whatever. And there are those guys. And there's a lot of them. Not everybody is like a Jake Fisher whose parents are here. And if he needs a meal, he can go home and have a meal. Or his parent, as he said, his parents can make his car payment. So I don't understand why we don't have the ability to just give them a little more money from the pot. You know, as part of their scholarship. I'm not sure if there's a rule because of that, but, you know, a football player who has to commit all this time in the summer when maybe he could have gone to work somewhere,
right?
And he can't make money, and then he comes to school and he can't have a job, why can't we give them a little more?
Right, right. So I think the one thing that we'll see is coaches' salaries are going to be, under the conditions that we're in with the pandemic, are going to be lowered. There's not going to be a lot of money anymore. So maybe they take it from that pot.
Right. It's going to have to be, somebody is going to have to step out and make a big hire and just say, we're not going to give you $7 million a year. We're going to give you three, and that should be enough. And for to kind of reset the market. It's hard to do, and, you know, and
well, look,
a lot of times, you know, athletic directors and school presidents don't have the
power.
They have the power. What they don't have is the gumption, for lack of a better word. I want to say something, you know, different, but
stones.
Yes, yes.
Cojones, you know, to say that's all you're getting.
Right.
Because we've got to give it to these guys.
Well, they're going
to
tell you, then I'm not going.
Then I'm not coming because I can go get that somewhere else.
Right.
But it has to be that if they can't go get that somewhere else, then they'll have to.
But everybody's in the same boat, which is a good, which is a good deal.
Yeah.
Because now, you know, Alabama is Alabama, but you have Arizona's all with other schools in the same boat with there's not a whole lot of money.
Right. If there could be a if one of the silver linings to what we're going through could be a resetting of that so that some of that money gets channeled into a better place for the athletes or whoever it is. And it may, you know, if you've got to spread it out amongst everybody, then do that. But
right.
I think too much, I mean, the coaches' salaries are crazy. And that's sort of a first place. Or for a coach to say, you know what, I'll come here if I know that money is going to go there and help out the players, I'll do that.
Right. You know? It's easy to spend other people's money, though.
It sure is.
That's what we're doing.
And that's really what we're doing.
Tom?
Well, here's the other thing to consider, guys, is that, you know, you'd like to say, okay, Nick Saban, we're going to cut your salary in half and take that and give it to the football program. But if there's less money all the way around, you cut that salary, and it's because you needed to, because that money's not there anymore.
Right.
So you're not spending it back on the program. You're just trying to get back to your new average of normal.
Right, right. And we won't get to a real normal for a while.
Right. It's going to be like that for a while. I mean, they're going to have to make some cuts in those areas, and it's going to be interesting to see how the coaches take it. And again, I'm just, you know, if you're making $3 million, why do you need to make $5 million?
Right, right. Well, it's funny because obviously I don't make that. Don't even come close to that, a percentage of it, and you're thinking, how much is too much? I mean, you're trying to save it for your family and whatever you do, but maybe because I've never been.
I'm willing to try to find out how much is too much.
Give me the struggle.
Give me the three and let me see if I can make it.
Right. Well, look, you have the Nick Gonzalez, 5.4. He's 22, whatever. Yeah. What do you do? You put that baby away?
Yeah, but you know, somebody like Nick Gonzalez could get. Have a career-ending injury, you know, first week of practice, and you know he's set. You know, hopefully he's set for life just with that first contract.
Yeah.
But then if he makes it, you know, long term, now he's setting his. But again, I'm just not understanding why, you know, Alex Rodriguez had to make $250 million.
No, I get it.
He made it because he could, and you give him all the credit in the world for doing that. I'm just not sure why that has to be. But again, I guess they'll call me a socialist over that. But
I totally agree.
I'm just, you know.
Jay, you're not going to make $250 million. No, can you settle for $125?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, and then he's off with J-Lo in between the two of them. You know, it's like.
Damn it. He has everything.
It's like Tom Brady is the one with the low paycheck in the household, right?
Right. It's another thing I'm missing.
He's the one that's keeping the family income down.
Right. It's a tough time.
It is. But, I think having that kind of perspective from somebody like Jake, I think is good. And that's, we want to keep doing that here. Hopefully we can. So he was great. I've gotten a bunch of text messages right now that he was a great guest for us and that those are the kinds of guests we need to keep having.
Right. No question. He was one of the original sports guys. And I thought, actually, I made him a bet out of college. I think if you're not part of the media in the next year or so, you know, I made a little bet. We didn't actually fulfill it, but he's that good. Speaks well.
Sure. Oh,
very
yeah.
insightful.
Yeah, smart guy.
Yeah.
Smart guy. But, you know, I knew that. You know, I knew him when he was in high school. He's the friend of a close family friend of mine. And so, you know, Jake, you knew that he was going to be successful, and he has been. And he was a hard worker. I mean, I saw him in high school and the things that he was going through to make himself a really good football player.
We might have to get Jared Tevis on the same. He's kind of the same.
Some of those guys. I'd love to hear from some of those guys that were in that period of time.
Right. Let's take a break or not take a break. We'll take the rest of the night off. Tomorrow's Wednesday. Today's Wednesday, right?
Today is Wednesday. Thursday, hump tomorrow. Day. So we're going to Thursday now.
Yeah, yeah. Good show today.
Good show. Thank you, Jake Fisher, for being with us.
Yes. Thanks, everybody. Here's good tunes there, Thomas. We'll see you tomorrow here on 1030 The Voice.